USA.org.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Return now, the second hour of the show with Dr. John Brandenburg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. We're talking about John's book, about Mars. I mean, what else could there be? It's all about
life and death on Mars.
The new Mars Synthesis, published this month from our friends at Adventures Unlimited Press, as a matter of fact. And lots of stuff to cover in this book. And lots of mysteries of Mars that we're trying to explore. What, pray tell, I'm going to just drop this in the middle of this. What is the Crystal Palace of Mars? What's that all about?
The Crystal Palace was a greenhouse-like structure built by during the Victorian era for the First World Fair. And it was built by a guy who designed greenhouses. And it basically was the classic, it sort of made everybody build classic greenhouses, iron framework or iron steel framework with glass. And it was a stunning piece of new art. No one had ever built anything like this. For one thing, it was just enormous. And it was the site of the First World's Fair. And it was so popular that when the world's, this great exhibition of Queen Victoria, to celebrate her reign, was over, they just simply dismantled it and moved it someplace else so they could keep it. And it stayed around for another 70 years till it was destroyed by fire. But the Crystal Palace was the original giant greenhouse. When I say there was a, I say in the book, there wasn't just a greenhouse on Mars like there is on Venus. Venus has had a greenhouse, CO2 greenhouse since its day one. There wasn't just a greenhouse on Mars. There was a Crystal Palace. This thing, you know, was a clear atmosphere, probably not only had carbon dioxide in it, but also methane to help stabilize it. And methane is a much more powerful greenhouse gas than CO2 is, by the way. That's why they burn it off at trash dumps. Because the methane, if the methane gets up in the air, it'll actually contribute to greenhouse warming much more than the CO2. So, but you can imagine a planet like Earth, only smaller, kind of a petite version of Earth, full of life, with a very diverse, evolved biosphere, a crystal clear atmosphere most of the time, composed mostly of carbon dioxide with nitrogen and a big component of oxygen. So it had an ozone layer. It had oxygen-breathing animals and advanced life. It had an ocean full of kind of carbonated water, but full of fish and all sorts of things. It would have been just beautiful. It would have been spectacular. I would dream of going swimming and, you know, walking along the beach on Mars and then going for a dip in the ocean and swimming with the fish in the ocean.
We have the salt water on Mars. We can use Epsom salts and everything.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Imagine a planet like Earth, but a little weird. For one thing, everybody's blood is carbonated water.
It
got slightly acid blood like the alien and the aliens, only this is just carbonated carbonic acid.
Okay.
And, you know,
that's why
Mars,
I like seltzer so much.
That's right. And Mars was like Earth, only probably more wonderful in its own way. And
so
that's
basically
why
the Martians are made up
palace.
Of Diet Coke. Is that what you're telling me?
Absolutely. The ocean of Mars is made of Diet Coke. That's champagne.
Or Diet Dr. Pepper, okay?
Diet Dr. Pepper. Mars was a remarkable piece of work. It wasn't just a greenhouse, it was a crystal palace, and it had everything there. You could imagine everything like the John Carter of Mars novel of Dejah Thoris and Princess of Mars, etc., etc.
Okay, of course we didn't have all those creatures with 8 or 12 arms and all that stuff.
Well, you know, it was a different chance for nature to develop a different way of doing things. Who knows?
This is a silly question, okay, John? Very silly question.
Yeah.
Do you think that when he was putting this book together, this is what, 1910, A Princess of Mars, before he wrote Tarzan of the Apes, Edgar Rice Burroughs consulted all this folklore about what Mars might be to confabulate the story?
Oh, well, he read the work of Lowell.
Okay.
Lowell had basically Lowell didn't understand about greenhouse gases very well, but even though that idea was around also, Lowell basically just thought the atmosphere would trap heat, and he just thought that Mars, there was no reason that Mars couldn't have liquid water, and he was seeing canals. So he imagined that Mars was in some kind of trouble. In Dejah Thoris, if you read Dejah Thoris, Edgar Rice Burroughs depicts a planet that whose environment is kind of on the edge of disaster, and they're struggling to preserve the environment on Mars, to preserve the oxygen atmosphere and everything.
The dead sea bottoms of Mars is what he always talked about.
The dead sea, that Mars was degrading, that its oceans had dried up, and the people, the culture that represented by Dejah Thoris, she's a princess in this one culture, and they are struggling mightily to preserve the atmosphere of Mars with big nuclear power plants, or they didn't have nuclear power. He came up with some kind of cosmic energy or something that was powering these plants.
I have a crazy question to pose here. Okay. The biblical references to global catastrophes, is that something that could have happened on Earth, or can we put all that stuff as something that we remember from the civilization that existed on Mars?
It's very interesting. You know, we have apparently a very strong, very vivid memory, you know, kind of a racial memory. And you find this legend among just about every culture on Earth has a flood legend. And basically an extinction-level event happening on the Earth. They're almost the entire human race and the advanced life forms on Earth were wiped out. And only someone who was basically warned to prepare for this with an ark survives with his family. And that, I mean, the Native Americans have it. The Polynesians have it. Of course, all the cultures in the Middle East had a flood story. And what the flood is you can kind of just say this is a catastrophe, a global climatic catastrophe on Earth that is kind of described as a big flood of water that kills just about everything. You know, it is almost makes all advanced life on Earth extinct. And so the human race has seen something like this. Maybe it's carried genetically from its past Mars heritage. Maybe it's something that happened on Earth that was a big asteroid or a big comet. Imagine a swarm of big comets striking the Earth that are mostly water. So suddenly you're having the equivalent of an ocean break up and explode in midair and form a flood experience. But I'm only speculating. I don't know what natural thing would cause a giant flood.
You know what? We'll get into more of this in a moment. Let me remind you all over again that there are several ways to get in touch with us. If you have a comment or a question about the PowerCast, send it to news@thepowercast.com. That's news@thepowercast.com. We read each and every letter we get, and we respond to most of them, sometimes all of them. So if you want to get in touch with us, we want to hear from you. We also have our ever-popular forums. Over 107,000 messages already. Go to forum.powercast.com. Forum.powercast.com. Here's what you do. You sign up. You register. You give yourself a username. And then in a few moments, you're ready to participate. You can sit back, lurk, read the messages, or post some of your own. Dr. John Brandenburg is our guest. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
Paracast. Hi, this is Tamar from Namecheap. We're a domain name and web hosting company, and we really care about our customers. With domain name purchases, Namecheap offers free SSL and free Whois Guard for a year to protect your identity from spammers. Most importantly, we care about you. If you'd like to learn more, please visit us at radio.namecheap.com, radio.namecheap.com for web hosting and domain name specials. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Namecheap or become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/Namecheap. See you online.
Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Alex has told you that the Mideast uprisings over food prices and shortages caused by fuel costs are spreading worldwide. We're seeing the impact right here in the United States. Ethanol that was supposed to reduce petroleum use and fuel prices hit a 30-month high in February, and pump prices are expected to reach $5 a gallon. Because of shipping costs, food is being priced out of the reach of millions of Americans with an expected 35% jump in the next 60 days. Move quickly while you can still afford it, and eFoods Direct will pay your shipping costs for you. For the best-tasting, long-term storable food, you pay nothing for shipping and can put every dollar into food at today's prices. eFoods Direct, food so delicious you can serve it tonight or save it for the future. Take advantage of free shipping by calling 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher-safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Chris O'Brien, our co-host, who is trying to sound like he is a Martian, okay? So
yes.
Chris is a Martian. You know, we know that.
Surrender, okay? Resistance is futile.
Or as they say, we have to kind of emphasize that in more detail. Resistance is futile.
Futile. That's a very Martian statement.
Okay.
I mean, these guys were, it's a planet of war, right? And
I am a tripod.
Oh, war in the world. Boy, That really scared people because H.G. Wells figured out that people on if there were canals on Mars and a civilization there, they might not like us much. In fact, one of the drivers for the invasion of Mars of Earth is they envy us because we have a planet with. It was the Lowellian idea that Mars was declining, that it had formerly been much more fertile and covered with oceans, and now it was kind of dying. And the Martians were trying to find another another place to live.
But, you know, this is part of all the science fiction legends we find nowadays, John. So, for example, in the movie Independence Day, we have this civilization comes here. They want our planet because they want our natural resources. We have something they want. We have, for example, the TV series, which has been done twice in the 80s and now again, where we have these alien lizards who want to mate with us because they have a problem with their genetic pool. It's messed up. They got to come here to fix it. We're Mr. and Mrs. Fix-It on Earth.
Well, I'm sure people would be willing to do that for a price. they wouldn't have to come here.
About the UFO abduction mystery, you know, John? The UFO abduction mystery has the same meme, which is that E.T. comes here, they want to mate with Earth people, create a hybrid race because of some problem.
Yes.
That even goes back to biblical legends, the same thing that we have these advanced beings who want to mate with the people of Earth to do something.
That's right, the Nephilim. It's in the Bible that says the sons of God. It doesn't go into any detail of what they were, but it doesn't. You can read between the lines very easily. The sons of God, meaning people probably from the sky, saw the daughters of men were very beautiful and wanted to take them as wives and did so.
Sounds like a reality show.
Yeah, and so and it says the offspring of these unions were great men about whom many legends are written, and that is in the Bible. And then, of course, that validates all these reports, like among the Greeks, of Zeus constantly cruising Earth for young maidens, and their offspring were great heroes about whom great legends were written. You know, Perseus,
just this constant
and, Jason
lusting after our gene pool on Earth. It goes back to Battlestar Galactica. Of course, this is the big spoiler of the TV series, the second generation or the reimagining of Battlestar Galactica, that 150,000 years ago, they come to Earth, they mate with us, and here we are. So is this what we're destined to do, John, that we're destined to go to the stars and find ways to repair our depleted gene pool with E.T. somewhere?
Well, that's what Captain Kirk was busy trying to spread the human genetic material all over the galaxy. And he had a lot of willing E.T. Women to do it, too. And, well, one of the interesting things they explored in Star Trek, partly because their makeup budget was so low, was that they had a lot of the aliens basically look like us. And
with a blue skin. With a blue skin or a green skin or something.
With blue or green skin or just wearing different clothes. And it was quite effective because you respond to human beings as intelligent and dangerous. Two great things that for any villain. And the fact that we imagined all this stuff about Mars, and now, by the way, the other big boot that's falling on Mars, which I discuss in the book, is the fact there was apparently a nuclear catastrophe. It wasn't enough that the climate collapsed due to what looks like an asteroid impact afterwards. There was a planetary nuclear catastrophe, a giant nuclear explosion, a million megaton hydrogen bomb equivalent going off.
But not artificial. Was this nuclear cataclysm artificial or something from a natural force of one sort or another?
Well, in order to get my paper into the conference, I proposed it was natural. And in Africa, there were natural nuclear reactors. This very rich uranium deposit became the site of little kind of nuclear reactors because of groundwater getting mixed with the uranium. So it would form kind of a reactor core of a water-cooled nuclear reactor.
And so that happened on Earth, and several scientists commented to me, well, if it happened on Earth, it has to have been able to happen on Mars. Only this one was would have had to have been much larger. The problem, by the way, with that hypothesis, and I discussed that at the meeting, was that it would have left a big crater. It's very hard for me to imagine such an enormous explosion from inside the Martian surface and not creating a big crater that we can see now. But people just shrugged and said, well, maybe it would have filled in or something. What impressed people, by the way, was the fact that the isotopes in the Martian atmosphere look like the results of a nuclear explosion. Because we have an example on Earth, we've actually altered our own atmosphere by the open-air nuclear testing that we did. It's got a lot of xenon-129.
Okay, so this nuclear catastrophe, we judge by the half-life of the isotopes, how long ago it occurred on Mars?
Well, the key we have to date this thing, this event in time, is a meteorite called ETA-79001, and it's 180 million years ago, and it's a lava sandwich. It's one flow of lava, you know, like from a volcano, and then like a few days later, there was another flow of lava. So there's two slightly different lavas that formed kind of this layered thing that then got blown off of Mars into space. And what's interesting is water got in between the two sandwiches, got in the middle of the sandwich and formed sulfate. And sulfate and carbonate in there, and then bugs apparently started growing in there too. They found life signs in ETA-79001. But it's only 180 million years ago. What's interesting, part of the lava sandwich, which they call lithology A, rock type A, has signs of radiation damage. But rock type B, the other half of the sandwich, doesn't show nearly the same amount of radiation damage. So it's almost as if this big nuclear catastrophe was going on when one lava was flowing and then was lessened when the other lava was flowing. So as a result, it may have actually been lava triggered by this big explosion. So
I have
we
something
may actually
I have to trigger
have
a, now, John Brandenburg.
Yes.
We're talking with Dr. Brandenburg. Co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans the galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
Do you want to learn more about preparing for the hard times ahead? Have you ever thought about actually getting off the grid and becoming truly self-reliant? Introducing Off the Grid News, a weekly newsletter for independent Americans who want practical advice on how to survive and even prosper in an increasingly dangerous world. It's the best way to get a black belt in emergency preparedness, survival skills, and off-the-grid living. Packed with hard-hitting information on gardening, food preparation, alternative energy, and home security, there's simply nothing like it. And the best part, this $100 annual subscription is now free of charge. Simply sign up today and you'll also get our hard-hitting report, Food Shock, Why 2011 Could Be the Single Most Important Year in American History to Plant a Family Garden. It's absolutely free for listeners who sign up at offthegridnews.net. That's offthegridnews.net. Get your free Food Shock right now at offthegridnews.net.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
We're having a jolly time with Dr. John Brandenburg on the Paracast with Gene Steinberg and Chris O'Brien, exploring the incredible mysteries of Mars and all the ramifications thereof. Chris, pick that up, please.
You presented this paper, and in order to get it in, you had to hint around that you felt that it was a naturally occurring underground event that may have been triggered. But in your book, you mentioned that because of the very curious fact that there is no real crater that one would assume to be formed, that what you're considering as a possibility is some sort of airburst event, which opens up a whole Pandora's box of hypotheticals. So why don't you talk about that?
You're very quickly in a science fiction scenario when you start talking about airbursts. There was a large object that fell in Siberia and blew up in midair. Tunguska, and it flattened like about a million miles of square miles of Siberian forest, and it looked like a hydrogen bomb going off, and that was in midair. It didn't make a crater. Now, however, there's no evidence that that thing was nuclear. This thing was nuclear, but it looks like it blew up in midair like Tunguska. So it's very difficult to explain that with any kind of natural process that we've ever seen.
Well, did you bring this up?
The only thing we've seen like that is a mid-air explosion of a nuclear weapon.
Did you bring it up?
No. I'm trying to hold an audience. Remember, this was presented as a poster paper, which is like putting up a bunch of view graphs on a bulletin board instead of presenting them to an audience. They can accommodate a lot more papers at once rather than doing them serially. It was like everybody kind of wanders. It's almost like Halloween night and you've got trick-or-treaters coming to your house.
Speed
and the goodies
dating
you're handing out are information. And
right, speed dating, right?
It's like speed dating. And people are cruising by, and one of the problems I found was that I was there. There were 1,000 different papers being presented all at once in these big, enormous hall. And I didn't get a lot of traffic because there were so many other interesting papers with much fancier graphics than mine. They have big, these universities.
I'll tell you what you have to do, John. What you have to do, John, is get yourself a copy of Keynote for the Mac. You'll make great presentations with super transitions. But seriously speaking, so you're basically saying that you kind of sanitized this presentation for the sake of your audience. You didn't want people to kind of look at you and say, well, you're like the crazy guy in the movie Stargate who was talking about the Stargate. And Dr. Daniel Jackson is the character, and he's being laughed out of the room because of the fact that he's coming up with this outlandish idea. So you didn't want to sound outlandish. You wanted to sound like
you don't
want to
sound
correct.
Outlandish. And you don't want to talk science fiction scenarios at a conference like that. So basically, I did point out, however, and people's eyes got large. Most of these Mars scientists are not familiar with nuclear weapons effects like I am. I'm a plasma physicist, not a geologist, I know all about nuclear weapons. It was sort of we got kind of a little bit of a short course in it when the graduate school that I went to, which was at Lawrence Livermore National Lab. It was called Teller Tech. And also I worked for Aerospace Corporation, where we had to understand all this stuff to analyze things like the Pakistani nuclear tests, etc. So what you do is you know what the signatures of a nuclear weapon detonation look like. And most of these geologists don't. So the same set of data you show to a geologist, Martian geologist, he says, well, that's interesting and mysterious. You show it to somebody who's an expert in nuclear weapons down at the Pentagon, and he basically, his eyes get big, and he says, oh, my God. So I basically pointed out that the Xenon 129 is a result of big nuclear explosions on Earth, and that got, basically, people's eyes would get big, and they'd say, is that so? I hadn't known that. And then they basically would just be really quiet while I went through the rest of the paper. And I did point out, though, that there was no crater and that this was a big problem with this hypothesis. And I mentioned Tunguska as an airburst of something, but it wasn't nuke. Unfortunately, fortunately, there's no evidence that Tunguska left any radioactive fallout, so it apparently was just a big comet. It was apparently a chunk of a comet that came in and exploded in midair rather than hitting the Earth. And in fact, it probably caused more devastation because it exploded in midair than if it had hit the Earth. It probably would have made a big crater, but it would have been more concentrated damage in Siberia. Instead, it leveled a million square miles of forest, I guess. And so when you're at a conference like this, you basically you run through the paper to whoever stops and is really interested. And I did that. And the people who were interested in the paper were quite amazed that this looked like nuclear weapons residue. And they hadn't thought of it that way. But, of course, it very quickly gets into kind of Mars has such a legacy of science fiction that people have an aversion to anything that looks science fiction-y on Mars. Especially, you know, these are geologists. They like to talk about rocks.
Yeah.
In fact, if you show them a picture of the face on Mars, they'll say, I wonder what kind of rock that is made out of. They'll completely ignore the fact that it looks like a face or Olmec head. They'll actually say, that looks like some kind of lava. I wonder what the lava chemistry is on that thing. And so you must understand that that science tends to be extremely conservative, especially Mars science. And the reason is that we're teetering right on the edge of a cliff of finding out that we're not the center of the universe biologically anymore. And we're going to find it out on Mars. We're finding it out now. And by the way, if we find out that Mars was another Alderaan, like in Star Wars, you can imagine Governor Tarkin with the Death Star, only instead of, you know, launching a giant particle beam weapon at Mars, he used a big hydrogen bomb as big as an Empire State Building. And, you know, that's what we're talking.
We're talking
a convergence of fact versus fiction. But okay.
Well, let me give you an example. In 1958, Kirby Comics published a comic book that I probably read when I was a kid. And these are the guys who did the Fantastic Four later, same artists. And it's called The Face on Mars. And you can see it on Richard Hoagland's site of, Enterprise Mission and on the net. And it's The Face on Mars. It's a big car face. And the astronauts land there. It was published in 1958. And the astronauts go into the face to see what's inside. And it's a record of the last days of Mars. The last days of Mars was us Martians were destroyed by another race that came here and used nuclear weapons on us. And we couldn't defend ourselves.
Life imitating art. Well,
absolutely.
I have a problem here. And yes. Correct me if I'm wrong. If this event that you're describing, this catastrophic, potentially airburst nuclear explosion occurred 180 million years ago, what were the conditions on Mars back then? According to your theory, a half a billion years ago, the planet began to lose its atmosphere because of a catastrophic asteroid impact or some sort of celestial body.
That is a real mystery. By the way, the date of half a billion years ago, 500 million years ago, is kind of tentative based on a lot of other kind of how many craters form per year, on Mars, et cetera, of a certain size.
John, we have to interrupt this for the crater conundrum. The crater conundrum will be resolved on the other side of the show. Our guest, John Vrandenberg, the co-host, Chris O'Brien, I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number, 1-877-804-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. 1-877-804-MY-TV. Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. 1-877-804-MY-TV.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's UTOPIA Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
We return with Dr. John Brandenburg talking about the incredible mysteries of Mars. We have a crater conundrum to deal with here, as posed by our co-host Chris O'Brien. Any further comments to make, John?
We'll just say that the evidence for a planetary-wide nuclear catastrophe, a massive nuclear explosion on Mars, is very strong and consists of isotopes in the atmosphere, a big radioactive spot on Mars with radiating lines from it, and evidence from Mars meteorites that they were subjected to a very powerful neutron radiation at some point in their existence before they were ejected and sent to Earth. So we have very strong evidence for the nuclear catastrophe, nuclear explosion. What we don't have is something that can explain the facts that we see. We have a very fine hypothesis, natural nuclear reactor on Mars. It happened on Earth. We could happen on Earth, on Mars. However, that would have left a big crater, and there's no crater. So we're kind of left with a big question mark. We have, you know, an idea that's kind of natural, that fits 9 out of 10 facts, but the last glaring fact, fact number 10, it doesn't fit because it would have left a big crater. And other scientists have talked with me, well, maybe it filled in or something like that. Sure. Maybe we should fly over it with ground-penetrating radar. Maybe we'll see a buried crater from this event. But it's right now it's a mystery. Big explosion on Mars would have devastated the planet, and we don't know what caused it.
At the same time here, you wonder why the authorities at NASA don't seem to take it seriously enough to push for more appropriations. Right now, nobody cares to fund the space program. We haven't really seen any action since the 1970s. The space shuttle is dying. We're hoping to have private industry, like a Robert Bigelow or the guy who founded PayPal, make up the difference,
right,
or contract with the Russians to do it. So right now, I don't think any of us will be living at the time we go back to Mars. And if we ever send a manned probe, it's going to be way after that.
Actually, I don't think that's true. I think we're going to be on Mars. People said we wouldn't have an African-American U.S. president for another 100 years, and now we got one. And things have speeded up, and I think we'll be on Mars far more quickly. Within a generation, I think we'll have humans on Mars. And part of the reason is because of this big nuclear explosion. We would like to go to Mars. That's kind of what you would say. We were thinking about going to Mars, and we decided maybe we could go to Mars. Now we have to go to Mars. Our own survival as a species may depend on what we find on Mars. if giant nuclear explosions can happen on planets, we would like to know exactly the circumstances of that to make sure it doesn't happen here, let's say. And that covers all the bases. Why don't we go up to Mars and find out what caused this big explosion? For certain, not just a hypothesis, for certain. And then basically find out whether it can happen here. If Governor Tarkin is still roaming the galaxy with his
Death Star launcher. Yeah, but part of the problem, John, is that enough scientists have to take this proposition seriously.
Oh, I think they will. The scientists who I actually could get their attention long enough for me to go through my spiel, their reaction was, oh my God. But you realize also that science is very conservative, and especially Mars science. But the word is getting out. I wrote a book. I'm speaking the truth as I understand it. And I believe people will respond. I believe the public may demand answers of the scientific community. And, of course, the scientific community will not be able to provide them unless they send a lot of rovers, a lot more probes, and ultimately people, geologists, especially nuclear weapons specialists. They have to send nuclear weapons specialists to Mars, not just geologists, to basically figure out what this was.
We have another element, too, that should be mentioned, and that is Chinese plans for going to the moon. There may be a way for the Chinese to appropriate the moon and sort of not let anybody else land there if they're able to actually have some sort of lasting presence there. So that would almost force
the Chinese of something like that.
Well, I'm just going on the conversation that I heard Robert Bigelow have on another radio show, and he brought up a very
interesting point.
Well,
they've been so nice about Tibet, you know, and
right.
You know,
that would almost force the Western powers to bypass the moon and go to Mars. It was what he was suggesting. So that may be another political circumstance.
Well, of course, you know, we didn't go to the moon because we wanted to know whether it was made out of green cheese or not. We went there to beat the Russians and show them up big time during the Cold War so that basically our NATO allies would stick with us. And it worked. And, in fact, it tremendously cowed the Russians psychologically when we went to the moon and they couldn't do it. Their big moon rocket blew up three times on the launch pad, killed a whole bunch of people. They were just humiliated by us going to the moon. And, in fact, the closer we got to landing on the moon, the more they kept repeating, oh, there is no moon race. It's all in the American imagination. And secretly, they had their cosmonauts ready to launch to the moon using completely untested stuff. It was almost a suicide mission. And their moon rocket blew up on the pad, carrying the moon lander and everything like that, and their moon capsule. And so they scrubbed the mission. They actually had two astronauts sitting in another rocket ready to join the big package in orbit and then go off to the moon. And they were going to try and beat us there by a week. And that's, you know, James Oberg writes about this.
Yeah,
and
I did not know that.
Yes. Oh, yeah. They were desperate to get to the moon ahead of us. And they ignored all safety concerns, finally. And the result was they just couldn't do it. And it was a major turning point in the Cold War. In fact, the Russians then said to themselves in the Kremlin, they said, don't get the Americans excited. Once you get the Americans are inherently disorganized, but once you get their mind focused on something, they can do amazing things.
Watch out.
So don't get them excited. Don't let their minds focus. And, you know, Bin Laden should have studied that.
Right. Well, the Chinese have a much different motivation. I mean, is helium-2, I think, is...
Helium-3.
Or helium-3 is one of the things that they'd be going after also. You know,
By the way, helium-3 is not so much a fusion resource as a military fusion resource, because once you have helium-3 reactors, you can make very powerful ships and spaceships,
ocean ships, submarines that don't require any nuclear shielding, because the helium-3 burns can burn, create nuclear energy without heavy shielding. You can sit right next to the fusion reactor, and the magnetic field that holds the plasma in there, that's the shielding.
Wow.
And
well,
so, that is what I studied in grad, was controlled nuclear fusion, and we always wanted helium-3. When we found out there was all this helium-3 on the moon, I literally got down on my knees and thanked God that we found it, because all during my grad school, they said helium-3 is the ideal fuel for fusion, except there isn't enough of it. We can't find any. And then they found it on the moon, and it was... It's the mother lode. The moon.
Okay, the mother lode is on the moon, but what about Mars? Does Mars have it?
Yes, Mars has some helium-3. In fact, it has more than. You can probably strain helium-3 out of the Mars atmosphere pretty efficiently, because Mars doesn't have a magnetic field, so the solar wind kind of strikes Mars, and the solar wind is full of helium-3. And it basically then, that's why the moon has so much helium-3. It's solar wind particles striking the lunar surface and then sticking. The particles get implanted in the dust grains.
We run out of fossil fuel on Earth, John. We want to go to the moon and Mars to get helium-3?
Oh, yes. Well, there's the best way to use nuclear power on Earth, I've decided as a fusion guy, is you have a what's called a hybrid nuclear reactor. You do a fusion core, but then you have a kind of nuclear shell, a uranium shell around it. And it turns out when you do it this way, it burns up all the nuclear waste.
Well, that's good. We have to show about nuclear waste, but we're going to have another kind of waste here, some kind of waste management we have to do if we don't do this break. We have
absolutely.
Dr. John Brandenburg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.